listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
They call me Edward Scissorhands because I'm trying to cut. They claim she got cramps because I'm going to get you to suck. You're not going to use your teeth in your head. You're going to find out what knives beneath right here.
The preacher's wife don't give head. Get a divorce, man. The kids been calling you the hellish horse, man. That sleepy hollow. See, she swallow. Sound like an old girl booed at the Apollo.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tells podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
That's right. Drop bombs on them. And this is the last show of the week, Wednesday. And in true the Blackout Tells format, you know, save our best for last. Okay.
Yes.
We brought some guests in, you know, to first time ever on the show, really, you know, but not the first time we ever talked about them, but first time they've ever come on the show. It's my man Brandon Collins, who you guys should know from his multiple appearances on this show. And you know, I've been on Comedy Outlaws before, but he's normally with Mike Brown. So what's going on, Brandon?
How you doing, guys? Thank you for having me on with my other co-partner, Justin Brown.
Yeah, the there other Brown. I'm the other Brown.
And I was
the
gonna
darker Brown.
I was gonna introduce singing phenomenon, Justin Brown, who you know, you guys should know. We actually played the theme song to Me and Popcorn on the show yesterday to give people just a treat for what I would dub as the greatest.
Yeah.
The greatest intro theme song to all podcasting of all time ever.
Cause we sing it out loud in the car every time.
Every time. but it's my man Justin Brown. Dog, what's going on?
What's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? You know what's funny? Brandon thought that I was crazy for that. And he was just like, this is just insane. We can't do this.
Sometimes you have to take the chance to win, you know? It's like Bruce Leroy, you know, sometimes you gotta kiss Lord Charles or it's never gonna happen.
There you go.
I'm gonna try to play this. Let me see if I can play the theme song, cause this literally is my favorite fucking theme song.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, man.
Let me play this real quick.
Popcorn, we are two niggas spoiling movies. Brandon Collins, that's me, and Justin Brown for your movie needs. Medium popcorn.
Woo! You haven't seen it,
well, we're gonna spoil it. Spoil it in your face.
That's our warning. So if you get pissed, it's all your fault.
Every single time,
and we actually let y'all pile up and play it back to back to back to back.
Now, here's the thing: what is the origin story of this theme song? Because I went and listened to all the episodes, and it didn't always used to be there.
Yeah. So I used to do Media Popcorn by myself, and I did one over Forget Me Not, right? And that was all right. But then when Justin joined, it was like, we got to do a theme song together. We need to establish that this is a partnership. And we spent like an afternoon going through songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And we both discovered for some reason we really liked Easy Lover.
Yeah.
So I just downloaded the instrumental version. Then we tried it like, we did like 7 takes, I think, of Justin just singing and me ad-libbing, because that's what I like to do. Well, I like to be the Diddy on this shit and just ad-lib and stuff.
And most of them, they were pretty much exactly like that. We kept laughing. We just kept on laughing. So we finally got one of us not laughing at it. And we're like, all right, we're going to keep this one. This is it.
That's how you know it's great, man. When you can barely do it without laughing. And you know everybody else hearing it is going to get a laugh on. But it's so intense.
Yes, and it brings so much joy in the lives. Because Roger could already heard it. And I was... Right, and all of a sudden it came on. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this magic you're playing for me? Who is this?
One of my boys says, like, you know, the thing that kills me about it is like, you're really going for it, Justin. Like, you're going for it.
All
in. Like, you're not messing around. You're going all in.
That's how it should be, man. You know,
and we didn't write anything down, by the way. We just were going, Justin was going off the dome with his lyrics. I was just saying crazy shit in the background. That's why it took so many times.
Now I want to hear the outtakes.
I know.
Never knew what I was going to say.
Now I want to hear all the outtakes, like what didn't make it into the first cut.
We're actually thinking about doing a music video, by the way, because we got a lot of hits. So like people are like, you guys got to do something with that song.
You see a video.
Yes. I need that. I need that in my life, dog.
Yes. Didn't know I need it, but I do.
Now also, you know, this is Blackout Tips. Mm-hmm. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher. You can search, the Blackout Tips, and we'll come up, leave us 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the show, on our feedback show, as long as, they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 575 that Bobby Shmurda has been locked up in jail, mm-hmm, on $2 million bail that will not be reduced possibly throughout, mm-hmm, the entire summer. Imagine spending almost 2 years away from your family and loved ones, and they haven't even told you what you did yet
at all.
Of course, you can, the show is double sponsored. It's sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. They have a YouTube channel. It's called Shadow Dog Production, no S. So go to youtube.com/Shadow Dog Production and check out all the trailers for their movies. You can check out behind the scenes videos that we did, interviews that we've done, a bunch of stuff. Just go to the YouTube channel and put in Shadow Dog Production and check us out. And then also we're sponsored by Bevel. That's right.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT. You get 20% off your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right.
Bevel, get your sexy on.
Mm-hmm. Look at your sexy ass. you know, first of all, man, congratulations to my man Brandon, dog. He popped the question.
Thank you. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Market, ladies. Plunge.
Yeah, if you were trying to get in on the branded market, you should have got in on the ground floor, ladies. It's a wrap.
Yes.
How does it feel?
It feels great. I mean, my girlfriend and I were together for a long time. So it's just, everyone was just waiting for one of us, you know, I was going to officially pop the question. We were on a trip in France and I was like, if I don't ask it now, it's going to be a lost opportunity. So I asked her on the beach in France, which is the most romantic thing I've ever done in my life. And now everything is downhill from here.
Were you planning to pop the question when you booked your trip to France, or was this a thing that you like?
Yeah. Like once my friend was like, "Yo, I got a villa. My friend's got a villa in Cannes. We can go. It'll be dope. Bring Tati." And I was like, "I'm gonna propose then.
I need to get some white friends. I need to get some good old white friends. Right? Villas in Cannes.
I see why you be going down to the compound now, man. I don't have the connections to pull no shit like that off. I'd be like, we're gonna get married in Detroit, girl. It's gonna be so real. Down by where the Pistons play.
That's too real. Now then I have a question. Did she take you seriously because you're a comedian? So did she think you was trying to do a stand up for
her? The first thing that came out of her mouth when I asked her to marry me was, "Are you serious?"
Do you blame her?
She was so shocked, and so I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." You know, I had the ring and everything, and she's like, she was kind of overwhelmed because she just had no idea, which is great. But the fact that the first thing she said was, "Are you serious?" I said, "But
I guess that's better than, is this a joke?" You know,
yeah. Or it's better than no,
right? Like, yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. And like, how long were y'all up there in France?
We were there for like 10 days. I asked her on the second to last night we were in France.
So, we were talking about this on Me and Popcorn, but, the balls to do it. Then I think I would have proposed in the airport on the flight home, you know,
just to make sure.
Just, you know, because if you say no, then it's just one last trip on this airplane and then we can never speak again, you know, because I don't think I could get no on day 8 and then be like, "So we still going to the Louvre tomorrow?"
I mean, it's painful.
Immediately booked the flight home and cried.
Soaked in tears. Yeah. My
I'm gonna try to wipe her from my like fucking memory and shit, like Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind.
She would have got back home to their apartment and all her shit would have been out on the street.
I'd be an angry black woman like, you ain't coming back in here.
Hanging out the window like it's 227.
It'd be all sassy.
You'd be like that scene where Pootie Tang got kicked out that woman's house.
Yes!
Take this big wheel. Well, that's, man, that's good, dog. That's, you know, so now is everybody asking you like, so when's the wedding? What's the
not
plan?
Me. Everyone's just saying congrats to me, but she's been getting it a lot. Like, she went out yesterday with some few of her girlfriends, Nate. That's all they kept asking about.
Ah, so, yeah.
I don't have to worry about that, but she is getting the brunt of it, which is, I guess that comes with the territory.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like peer pressure things. Like, you say like, okay, I'm, you know, everybody, when you're dating for more than 6 days, everybody's like, so when y'all getting married,
right?
When you gonna ask her to marry you? And so you do that, then it's like, so when y'all gonna have a wedding? And then you do that, then it's like, so when y'all gonna have some kids?
Right.
You
and know, the questions don't stop. And and the thing is women peer pressure. Most dudes don't give a fuck. Now, trying funny, and they not gonna ask you, dude, when you get married. They gonna be like, you know, you send me an invitation, and I don't want to even care if you forget about them. They probably would like for you to forget about them, so they don't have to buy a fucking suit.
Well, when's your bachelor party?
Expensive.
Yeah, when's the bachelor party? That's what people want to know.
That's what I want to know too.
You going to Vegas? You but you still have to decide some things. Like, do you know who your best man is and stuff?
I mean, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Yeah, exactly. See, yeah, these are the things.
That's gonna be a question.
I think you should make them have a competition for it, man.
I would be the one to do that.
Yeah.
I have like some fucking Hunger Games. And I would do so crazy to the point where no one wants to be my best man at the end. I'm like, yo, fuck you, Brent. I ain't eating no roaches. I'm like, don't anybody love me.
You're gonna hire Joe Rogan so he could come out of retirement of Fear Factor and do Fear Factor for you?
You should be like, whoever can get me the best spot in New York. Get me on at a club I've never been on at before, and I got you. But nah, that's cool, dog. You know, congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It doesn't feel any different.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing that's different now, she's like, oh, we should open up a joint bank account now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah, if there's any way that this marriage is going to end before it starts, it's that.
Yeah,
she finds out how deep my financial
is. How deep in the financial squander you are.
You still have a monthly subscription to bangbros.com? No one pays for porn on the internet, Brandon.
Nobody.
But I like to.
But they update every 20 minutes.
Right. That's like my college student loans. You know, I owe them.
Oh.
Also, you know, Justin, are you dating anybody, man? What's going on with you?
Nope.
Actually,
I'm going to plead the fifth on that.
Because
you got to plead the fifth. Because I may be talking to people. You don't want to be, you know, jump the gun.
So you're not, you're not dating anyone.
I'm not settled down in any capacity right now.
So you're not dating anyone, but you know somebody that would be very offended if they heard you weren't dating anybody?
Man, come on now.
There are so many amendments.
The snap is most of the women that hook up with Justin think he's Omar Epps.
They
get all upset. I'm just joking. Okay,
Brandon. Well, Brandon, I got jokes for you too. It's all
right. Nah, but that and then also, man, what was the development of Medium Popcorn? Because Brandon says he used to do this show by himself. Like, what was the impetus to bring on Justin and all that stuff?
Man, have you ever tried to like listen to a podcast where someone's just talking about themselves? I'm not Bill Burr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was sad. Like, I was just me talking about movies by myself, and that's just depressing. Like, I would listen back and be like, "Man, this is weird." And then Justin and I, we talk about a lot of stuff. We actually met on like a filming set for
Alex
Schumer.
That was ridiculous
years ago. Like, that's how we first met, and we just connected because we could just talk for a long time about whatever.
We met 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I was like, if I'm gonna do this with a partner, I'm gonna bring on Justin, because then it's just funny. And like you saw today, Rob, we were gonna talk about The Last Dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about Independence Day and like random shit. Yeah. Like that, and we can just do that. And that's what I love about the partnership.
The first episode I came on, though, we did like a Mystery Science Theater version of The Room.
Yeah.
And we did The Room, which, you know, not a lot of people know. Well, you know, if you've listened to the podcast, that I hate The Room. And I've almost assaulted Brandon on many occasions just for bringing The Room into my life.
For folks that don't know what The Room is like pretty much called the worst movie ever made. Mm-hmm. It's by this weird French dude named Tommy Wiseau. It's like you can YouTube it, The Room. It's like some of the worst acting and green screen you'll ever see in your life. I've made Justin watch this probably like 4 times now. Oh. I made him and our friend Dylan Stevenson go with me to a midnight screening of it. And they just were like so upset at me. But I bought the ticket, so they can't get too mad at me.
I mean, as long as they don't value their time.
Yeah, you know, well, the joke's on Brandon because I have actually booked Tommy Wiseau to actually officiate your wedding.
He's going to be the wedding coordinator. It's going to be all fucked up. But that's cool, man, that y'all were able to, like, you know, meet up and like, what movie was this at, you said?
The Room.
The Room that y'all met at The Room?
What set did we meet on?
Yeah, what set? Oh, can you say?
College Humor video. I think it's called, I think it's online. It's called Ghost Spiders, right?
Yes, Ghost Spiders. Okay.
So you met there, and what happened?
I was playing, like, a goth kid. Which is ridiculous because I'm probably the biggest goth kid anybody's ever seen. And he was a bully in the class. So I was being bullied by little ass Brandon, which is ridiculous.
And but we were just improvising for hours, just making fun of each other.
Yeah, we stayed in character the entire shoot. Oh. And then we just became friends after that. Then, you know, I found out Brandon does stand up and I do stand up. So then we both just started, you know, doing stand-up shows together and then starting.
And we have a sketch comedy group with Dylan Stevenson. You guys can check out our YouTube page, Grits Comedy. We have, like, a really funny one called Back to the Looper. We're 24%. We're working on some new stuff, too. We do a lot of live sketch shows. But, yeah, Justin and I have been, like, doing sketch comedy and stuff together for a while. So that's just natural for us to do the Media and Popcorn thing. We just talk about movies and say crazy, somewhat creepy stuff sometimes. Mm-hmm.
No, a lot of creepy stuff. A lot of creepy stuff.
Yeah, I always feel like y'all are harder on yourselves about how creepy it is than the audience is. Mm-hmm. Like, I always feel like it wasn't that bad. I've heard worse, but maybe I just listen to some horrible people and y'all are just like the least horrible. I don't know.
Agreed. I'd be like, this is not that bad.
Oh, sorry, Karen. Oh, no, we got a lot of complaints about the Tina Turner episode. The What's Love Got to Do With It?
Yeah, but in all fairness, that is a movie that is so silly over the top, even though it's about a very serious subject, that it's impossible to treat it as in a serious context.
I laugh. That is the most funniest comedy ever, and it's not supposed to be a comedy.
I always say What's Love Got to Do With It is devastating and one of the most powerful pieces on domestic violence. If you watch it one time and never again, but if you try watching that shit twice, you're gonna find yourself laughing so hard that you're like, I think I'm a bad person.
Like Lawrence Fishburne when they're in the ambulance, like, anime, if you die, I swear I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll kill you.
He's like, bitch, you better not die.
With two more kids.
Eat the cake. Eat the cake, Tina. Just eat the goddamn cake. No, Ike.
Y'all go in the room back now. Me and your mama just talk.
The funniest line to me is actually when old girl gets up and says, "You ain't got to hit me but once," and walks the fuck out of that diner like, bye.
You think it's okay to let a motherfucker pound on you?
Oh man, he should have won an Oscar for that.
They all should have won Oscars. That is crazy.
Yeah, that was a crazy ass movie. But yeah, I didn't even think that was that bad, man. Okay. And then you guys, you know, sort of like brought in a female voice to go through Showgirls, which I thought was a smart move.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to have some levity to that shit show movie.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, that one was bad.
Every time I think of that movie,
but
it's
so sad. I gotta say, You obviously both listened to an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was just her story was so interesting just right off the bat, the fact is, you know, she was, you know, Mormon, and then she, you know, comes and moves to New York and is like, okay, I'm a stripper now. And then talking about this movie, I was like, I randomly met her. Just happened. I was at an audition and she was there and we had a conversation. And I was like, you need to come on Medium Popcorn and review this movie with us. And it just happened like that. But, you know,
well, that's a good
thing. I love and hate about Justin is that he can start a conversation with anybody.
That's me.
And sometimes it'll be the worst person you want to have a conversation with. But he'll keep going.
That is the absolute worst shit ever. Like, when I go out by myself, I don't end up in those circumstances most of the time. Like, sometimes crazy people will talk to me, but, like, they have to get through barriers like my headphones or the fact that I don't want to, like, make eye contact and shit. But, like, when I'm with Karen, it's like she's like a talking magnet, man.
I am. And sometimes I don't say nothing. They come to me.
Nah, she's lying. She says something every time. It's always because like there's certain people that there's certain people I size up from like fucking 30 feet away and I'm like,
I don't be paying attention.
Don't speak to this person because they're gonna fucking, they look like they can't wait to talk your goddamn head off. And then Karen will look at that person and be like, hey sweetie, how are you? And then they just like, oh well, you know, my wife is actually going through chemo right now and it's been raining outside, you know, and I was actually thinking about voting for Donald Trump and I thought we looked at have a long ass conversation about this bullshit and I'm just sitting here like, why did I not go to the store by myself? Yep. You know,
the funny thing is I put on my headphones all the time to deter people, but then when I see somebody and they're a little crazy, I'm just like, oh shit, I need to get in on this.
Take these headphones off. And
bring out a pad, like, go ahead.
Well, we were we were doing auditions for our sketch comedy group and this Arab dude came in and he like spoke hardly any English. And I'm like, Dylan and I are like clearly like, well, we're not going to work with this guy because we can understand what he's saying and vice versa. Justin starts improvising with him for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, nigga, just let him go. Like, we got to go. We got more auditions.
Yo, this dude, he rode a bike to the audition and he was just dripping sweat and he just smelled like a bag of dicks. But it was just too funny to let this guy just walk out of there. His name was Abbas.
That's horrible.
I did the first comedy show in Iraq. What?
Give y'all a history lesson.
It was the bomb.
One of the worst comedy auditions I've ever seen, and Justin kept going.
Do you only partner up on podcasts with people whose last name is Brown, Brandon, or is this like?
You know, it would seem that way, right?
Uh huh. So maybe is Justin, you related to Mike?
No.
Oh, okay. No. All right.
Yeah, it just happened. You know, there's just 1,000 Browns out there, the most generic black name. Well, actually, no, generic last name because there's so many white Browns too, so I can't even.
Yeah, there's Charlie Brown,
Encyclopedia there's, Brown,
Murphy Brown.
Y'all ever have Mike Brown on a podcast episode yet?
Mike doesn't really watch. He watches movies, but like we've never had like a long conversation with Mike about like movies and stuff. Like we had Chris Lambert on because Chris Lambert is a big movie dude.
Yeah,
I want to have JL on eventually, but he's so angry. I don't know if I'll ever be able to talk about a happy movie. Maybe definitely we'll have him on to talk about something that made him smile.
Bring him on to talk about Ghostbusters. He probably can't wait to talk about that.
Not against it. Not against it.
We just recently started having guests on Medium Popcorn too. Like it's usually just Justin and I fucking ranting about whatever movie we saw recently, or if like we decide there's a movie that we should definitely cover because fans have been tweeting at us or whatever. That's when we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until I see Mike and Justin in the same place, they basically the same dude to me. So
hey, they're both bald, they're both called Brown. Yeah.
They gotta do the same, they gotta do the show at the same time. then I believe it. All right, man. Well, we got news and shit to talk about, guys. Okay.
Let's do it.
All kinds of news is happening. I don't know if you guys caught this, but VH1 did a hip hop honors for oh wait, I'm hearing an echo over there somehow. You guys hearing an echo or is it just me?
No, it's
on your side.
All right, hold on. Let me see. I don't know. I don't even know where it went. All right, so it's gone. Anyway, Hip Hop Honors was basically, this year, it was all about the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
The lady rappers who, you know, have molded hip hop from way back. I mean, they had like Queen Latifah and like,
UNITY.
Salt and Pepper and Cinderella, Lady of Rage was there, Mia X.
They went way back. Missy,
Lil' Kim was there. Shit, they even have Faith Evans.
You can see her under the lights?
Say that again.
You can see her under the lights because she's so bright.
Lil' Kim, well, you know, the artist formerly known as Lil' Kim was there. You know, she's gone through some changes.
I hope nobody spilled water on her or fed her after midnight.
Yeah.
I hope not either, baby.
Oh, man.
I'm glad y'all got that reference.
Yeah, man. I've seen, Gremlins too. She liked that lady gremlin in Gremlins too.
Oh my god. Yeah.
The one that was trying to holler at, dude. So.
How many of y'all would actually fuck?
No, that got weird.
The lady gremlin, she was kind of rapey at the end.
Nah, she was kind of rapey.
She tried to take it. I don't know what was up with that lady gremlin.
I like an aggressive woman. Ladies.
There you go. Get aggressive up on Justin if you need to. So, apparently some people weren't invited. Okay. And one of those people was Foxy Brown.
Oh shit.
Yeah, which says a lot because I can't imagine talking about the ladies of hip hop without talking about the Ill Nana, man. Foxy Brown was her and Lil' Kim. That was like a huge rivalry at the time.
But she created a lot of enemies, right? That's the problem.
Yeah, probably, apparently.
Right? Like a lot of those female rappers, I remember she had like a lot of problems with, and if.
But isn't like Foxy Brown like blind or something? Wasn't she deaf? She went deaf. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. All right.
Temporary. She was with Def Jam.
Clear implant. I mean, does she?
I think she can hear again now. I don't know what the rule is, but you know, I think she was with Def Jam. But I think Foxy can hear now. I'm about to Google Foxy Brown hearing just because. I don't know the answer to this. Yeah, Foxy Brown returns, deafness cured. So she back, she can hear.
How did your deafness just like, don't worry, I can hear again, guys, I'm good.
Gotta be a hearing aid or something, or correction surgery.
Black girls are magic. That's how.
Yeah, there you go.
And real magic.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Diddy hit her when she was sleeping one night.
I think that's how you lose hearing. ask Holly Berry. That's how she lost hearing. The dude hit her in the ear.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Justice, right?
No, it wasn't David Justice. They corrected that rumor as of last year, which is amazing that it took that long for that to not be a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
if I was walking around for 20 years, he just got fed up one day and went to Twitter and was like, hey man, y'all need to cut this shit out. I'd never hit that woman in my life. And she came out and was like, yeah, it wasn't him. It's like, damn. I don't know, cause she dated Wesley Snipes. Like, it was a few famous dudes.
It's probably Wesley.
No, actually, it's probably Christopher Williams, cause he has, like, a violent past.
He
fights in clubs, like, all the time.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
But that's just super.
People were dreaming when he was around.
Yeah. That's how she got hit. He was like, don't wake me. I'm dreaming.
Don't wake, cause I'm dreaming.
Yeah, he was like, he woke up there. And then hit
up. My dream is kaput.
That's how that went.
This entire discussion just got very problematic.
She wasn't ready.
Everything got problematic.
She should have let him sleep. I'm blaming the victim.
I'm just saying. Just saying, Karen took it there, guys. Don't write me. Don't write me.
She should have let him sleep.
So yeah. I can't remember. Oh yeah, so they did rectify, but they didn't say who it was. But yeah, Foxy Brown wasn't invited. Lauryn Hill, well, she could have been invited, but she might not have not shown up. Who knows?
She would have been 5 hours late.
Yeah.
I bet she was invited. She just missed the taping.
She just comes
Lauryn
on stage.
Hill just got there right now.
Yes.
They're like, thank you guys. Good night. Y'all have a good one. And she just comes in like, it's funny how money changes situation. It's just an empty ass arena and shit.
Everybody's going, you are too good to be true.
Yeah. Right? Where's everybody at? Oh. Also, I don't know what's wrong with her.
She's crazier than squirrel jizz, man. She's yeah. nutty, man.
Can't understand everybody, man. And Nicki Minaj and Iggy Azalea weren't there, but maybe it's because they're newer. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, Iggy Azalea is also back in Australia because she got nothing to live for no more.
Yeah, after yeah. Nick Young did it like that.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. They might have invited Nicki, and Nicki was like, I got shit to do.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like she would have shown up, you know?
No, Meek Mill probably wouldn't let her out of the house. Baby, don't go.
No,
I can't go. You
yeah,
can't.
Yeah, he can't go.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, how he going to stop her? Once she make it to the porch, his ass is done.
Yeah.
She's like, don't catch a charge. Don't catch a charge trying to chase after me.
Little ankle wrist starts beeping and shit. He's like, damn it.
Yeah. he just,
baby, bring me back a Gatorade.
Yeah. He run to the edge of the driveway like, come on, baby, please. Oh.
Just give me some Bojangles on your way back home.
He tries to run after a limo and shit. And then he starts beeping and he has to run back like Shia LaBeouf in a Disturbia.
Yeah.
shit.
So Foxy Brown went to Instagram to leave a message for everybody. She says, thank you, beloveds. Kissy face emoji. And be clear, guys, this is only being granted a caption due to the overwhelming outcry for fans everywhere. I awoke this morning to our fans across the world's trending outrage at Reality Show Network at VH1's non-inclusion of Lauryn Hill and Foxy Brown. Anyone recognize whether the contribution big or small, I applaud. Personally, I'd prefer being held to a much higher standard in my walk, but fans went ballistic. The people have spoken. We've been blessed to set the bar at its highest heights, most notably receiving the 2016 historic Key to My City of Brooklyn. Therefore, humbly speaking, the caliber of honor I'd aspire to are those upper echelon. After all, guys, this is VH1. Truthfully, the only accolade that truly matters to me is that of the Most High. Rest assured, I'm in the studio perfecting this incredible return, humbled and blessed to kill it again. My girl L Boogie, my fave, and I have the dopest convo, cracking jokes in our Caribbean accents as she prepares for an amazing overseas tour. So actually, guys, let's thank VH1, as we are definitely the difference. I love my Fox Nation at Love Fox. So there you guys go.
That was very long-winded by Foxy Brown. And she is the last person I would ever think would say, like, hugs and kissy faces and shit like that.
Yeah.
That's the last person I would ever think would say something like that. That's...
Well, you know...
She changed my mind.
If she got a new album coming out, you know she mad that she wasn't getting exposure on VH1.
Right. That's true. And also, nobody won't go to that Lauryn Hill overseas tour.
She ain't gonna make it.
It's gonna still
supposed to be there.
Right, it's gonna still be on Eastern Standard Time, but it's gonna be in Europe.
Her, like, it's insane how defensive she gets about her being late. She gets upset when people call her out and are like, what happened with the Grammys thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When she was like, the weekend was like, she just didn't show up. And she's like, oh, but traffic and yada yada. It's like, girl, you haven't had an album in like 15 years. You need to show up to things on time.
Yep.
You need money. You go to jail.
Like, how you expect to make money if you don't even be there? Like,
yeah, all your money going to back taxes, honey.
Speaking of,
was MC Light there?
Was who? MC Light.
I want to say yeah,
but I'm not sure. I might be confusing with the when I just watched the BET Awards and she was announcing, but
I
want to say she was there. It's like they had literally everybody. Like, niggas, you were just like making them up, like. Yeah, but I bet they ain't got the boss from the South in there. And it's like, yep, we got the boss, nigga. Like, they probably ain't got the...
Oh, shit, she's there.
Right. Like, they need to be shouting out the brat. And they brought the brat out. I said, God damn, everybody out here. But yeah, Foxy wasn't there. Man, they had Faith introduce Lil' Kim. That's when I said, man, sisterhood is some real shit. Because I never thought I'd live long enough to see that moment.
Mm-mm.
Like, yeah. I kept expecting Faith to end it with, and here this bitch go. Like, because
I think in the end, if you really think about it, Faith won that battle. You know what I mean? Mm. She's got, like, a great son. She still looked pretty good.
Yeah. She had the titties all the way out.
Them royalties.
She had the titties all the way out. She was killing it. It was an amazing, amazing tribute. She probably just was like, in her mind, like, almost like some Lannister shit. Like, just, there she go, y'all. Look at the mess she's become.
Oh.
And look at me. But yeah, Erica Badu, she has decided to donate her concert funds to aid the Detroit Rape Kit Project. She's joining the campaign to process abandoned rape kits and find criminals connected to them, which maybe she felt she needed to do after she said that crazy shit on Twitter, kind of blaming girls for wearing like short skirts in high school and junior high school and teachers being attracted to them and shit. Now for the record, she never said something like people deserve to be raped or whatever, but still those comments are along the lines that a lot of people who basically blame victims, they were along the same lines. It just didn't get to that full extent, but it was very much like, well, what you expect them to do? You wore shorts to school.
Well, I mean, isn't she the same one who had that video where she's slowly taking off her clothes and she walking on down the street butt ass?
Yep. She did.
I was a fan of that.
Yes, me too. Yes, I was.
Oh, that
was like a shelf.
It really was.
Riding like a camel.
At that moment, we all understood why Andre 3000 put on them shoulder pads, dog.
Oh, yep.
I'm like, I put them shoulder pads on for that shit. Nigga, go take me to the thrift stop. You know what I'm saying? Let's go shopping at Goodwill.
And she's a beautiful woman. We went to go see her perform. We didn't know she was going to be there years ago when Chappelle did his block party. And she showed up on stage. Yes, sir.
Yeah. She put on a hell of a show, too, man.
Yeah, she's a great. I saw her rock the bells one year. She's dope.
But, you know, I think that's the thing about the internet, though, is like people are very much like, you fucked up, away with you, the end of you. But people, for the most part, are pretty complicated.
Yes.
At least people who are trying to be like some semblance of a good person. I'm sure there's some people that are just like, I'm evil. I work for Fox News. Fuck y'all. But for some people, it's like, you know, like Erica Badu didn't walk out of her house trying to be like, let me go justify these rapes. Mm-mm. So, you know, her money from her concert going to help hopefully solve some of these cases and get these kits tested and stuff. You know, that's a big fucking deal, man. Each kit costs about $490 to test. And about 10,000 kits have been tested so far. But they actually
cost that much, so you won't do it.
Right? They don't. I mean, Detroit probably says it's not in the budget, but just think about that. We prioritize things in the budget all the time. You getting raped? Not a high priority. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah, the Reds have money issues for a long time. When Kilpatrick, he was in there, and he fucked up. My whole family's from Detroit. I remember my grandfather used to talk about how corrupt the Kilpatrick family was because my grandmother went to college with them. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, them niggas going to ruin the city. You know, move to Florida.
And that's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what he did.
On all fronts. They went to Florida. Kilpatrick, they fucked up the city.
Yeah, he got arrested. My papa was like, see what I tell you.
I knew they wasn't shit in church.
That's why I got my black ass out of here.
Blue suits. It wasn't even Easter.
I love Detroit. Detroit's actually one of my favorite cities.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I've only been there once. I didn't really get to sightsee a lot, but it was scary to me, so I'm never going back.
In the summer, Detroit's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go in the summer. It was like wintertime, so that may have something to do with it.
You don't want to be there.
No. It was cold. It got dark early. Although,
you should go in Detroit.
That was the only mall I've ever been to where, like, the bootleg man had a booth, you know what I'm saying? inside the mall, it was a dude, like, you know how, like, sometimes you run into people that sell, like, watches outside of places, like, if you go to, like, the barbershop and you walk outside, it's always a dude, like, hey, man, you trying to buy a watch, something like that. That dude had a booth in the mall, and I know he was just a regular bootleg man, because when we came up to him, he was like, my friend, Rolex? We was like, man, that's not no fucking Rolex. He's like, no, it's a Rolex, $3,500. It was like, man, I'm not buying that shit. And my brother talked that dude down. It was some ridiculous number, like $25 or some shit. And then my brother didn't buy it. It was the funniest shit ever. But yeah, that was in the mall.
That's about right.
Y'all see? At any rate, Erykah Badu is gonna donate her money to it, and there's like 11,300 other rape kits that have been found abandoned.
Shit.
I know, right?
Right, and people talk about justice. You go to the police and your shit sits there.
Yeah, so, so, and then, let's see, then, this is a huge group for Enough Said AA490. She said in a statement, everyone knows that Erykah Badu is a major talent in the music and songwriting industry. For her to lend her name, talent, and time to this work is nothing short of a miracle. Justice for these forgotten sexual assault victims has been given a phenomenal assist. The Badu announcement comes just weeks after a group of black men across the region announced that they would join the campaign, which is at the heart of a unique public-private partnership to raise money for public use. That so many people are stepping up to help makes it less heartbreaking that justice was denied so many women for so long. Yeah, some of these cases go back like
probably decades.
Yeah, like they didn't even find this until 2009. Like they found the abandoned kits in 2009, which means who knows when this shit started.
Well, say that again, Brandon.
Yeah. I was saying, doesn't that fuck up the statute of limitations for a lot of these victims? Like,
probably.
Let's say the kits were like to bring back like someone's soul's like friend that raped her, mm-hmm. but then it's been like 10 years, so she technically couldn't charge him.
Right? I think the statute of limitations on rape and stuff like that is different. I think it's actually pretty long on it.
It depends. It depends because, like, I think people are looking at Kazi's case, but Kazi also had exorbitantly long times before being accused.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I don't know what the statute of limitations is for Michigan, but you know, at any rate, I'd still rather have the evidence tested. So, like, what if this person's a serial rapist?
And right.
There's a current case, and now you're like, oh, wait a minute, this dude's semen matches up to some other shit too now. But, you know, but it's also scary because we tell so many people silence women with,
yes.
Well, why don't you just report it? Why don't you just call the police? And it's like, if you call the police and your shit still, nothing ever happens.
And then you get shamed on top of it. And
yeah.
Like, that's why SBU is bullshit. This shit don't get solved in 45 minutes.
No. Right. Like, I can imagine how many don't get reported. There was a survey the other day that said, like, on this, it was either, like, on campus or something. On this study, it was, like, 92% of rapes did not get reported.
That's not right.
According to a survey. Like, on a survey, it's not, you know, legally binding. You don't have to, like, go anywhere to, like, you're not calling the police. But it was just, like, have you ever been sexually assaulted and did you contact the police? And it was, like, no. You know, like, yes, I was assaulted. No, I didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say something fucked up.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's just move on. Let's just move on.
Sometimes just have to stop and listen. Move on. You know what?
No. Anybody like me, like, that's why I never get my ancestry done. Because I feel like I'm giving my DNA
I'll
put my DNA in the database. I don't need that in my life.
Now you know.
What are you planning on doing?
Yeah, what, like, why would that be a problem to have? Like, you can put my DNA on file because I'll be fine. Like, why are you worried about it, Justin?
No, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying probably dudes, if you know what, I'm giving people ideas. I'm giving people ideas. Let me just be quiet.
Okay. I'm gonna wake up one day and people are tweeting at me like, yo, did you hear about what happened to your boy Justin?
Right. He was a South Side. He was a South Side strangler, man. You had no idea. You've been doing a podcast with him all this time. Now your podcast is about to blow up. That's the good news.
Yeah, it's about to be large popcorn.
Bad news is you about to testify. You about to have to testify on a lot of things.
Yeah, good, Brandon. I listened to. We listened to your What's Love to Got to Do with It.
Episode. Yeah.
Think that Justin was Ike Turner.
We think that you had a lot of. They're gonna treat me like they treated Paterno. They're gonna be like, you knew that Justin was a creep,
right? We're gonna have to take you downtown as an accomplice because there's no way you could have done that episode and not known.
And y'all know I ain't gonna do well in jail. All right, even in Holden.
Yeah,
in Holden they'll shake me around like jelly. It's gonna be terrible.
Oh no, they could get all in their man cake, son.
Oh,
something like cigarettes.
speaking of more shameful, problematic humor. George W. Bush has gotten mocked because apparently when he, his wife, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama all flew down to Dallas for the memorial for those cops who were killed in the line of duty.
Okay.
And so apparently they played the Battle Hymn of the Republic during a solemn memorial service for Dallas cops, and George W. Bush started dancing.
Wait, what do you mean, dancing during the hymn?
He swayed and swung his arms, and Bush held his wife's hand, Laura, and First Lady Michelle as the choir sang. One Twitter user said Michelle Obama gave a master's class on restraint. The ceremony took place. Let me see if I can play it. I might be able to play it and let everybody see. Give me a second. Yeah, I'm going to share my screen with you guys. But yeah, man, this dude was president at one point. Oh my God.
A little choppy, but I can do a little sway.
Oh man.
You're doing some lean on me shit.
Oh, bro. And I'm gonna blow it up again so y'all can see it, but look at how still everyone else is standing. And that's when it fits.
Are you sure he isn't off the wagon again though?
I don't know. Sure I don't know. Again? Can't speculate on that.
I think he has a CTE. I think he's been playing football. Oh. I'm just saying, guys. He's a little bit off his John Rocker.
Tell the truth. These are young men. Your warriors. All right. Here's look at how still everyone else is.
Oh, he getting down too.
Michelle looking like, motherfucker, what are you doing?
Still.
That's the silent black mama scream, dog. Oh, if we was in church, she would
like,
lean
I
over.
I would yank the hell out of you and tell you to quit moving.
Oh.
George, stop it, George.
Poor George. Was that you? You know what? He just wanted to go on his farm and chill and do his paintings. And they're like, hey, this happened in Texas. You got to go speak. And he's like, oh, geez, okay. And he's trying to enjoy himself and start dancing and now everybody's, oh man.
He's like, I'm sorry everybody, I was a little high. Yeah. I gotta share my screen again so y'all can see Michelle Obama because they slowed it down and put pictures, they stopped the picture at each time. Michelle's face, look, it looked like Michelle leaned over and said, hey, cut that shit out, man. Right? And like, look at this. This is her leaning
Obama
in.
Obama looking over, it's just like, is he high?
Yeah. This is him mid song pretty much. And then this is Barack and Michelle being like, hey man, it's not,
I'm jamming.
Right. I'm already black and they think I'm on the protester side as is. Don't dance. But yeah, he was getting it. God damn.
He the only one rocking too. He rocking so
Michelle,
hard he was...
Yeah.
Go ahead,
she got the realest faces sometimes, man.
She's black.
They were at that dinner with John Boehner, and like he like said a joke, and she just rolled her eyes.
Yeah,
and they caught that on camera. I was like, yes.
Yeah, people keep being like, I want Michelle to be president. I'm like, is the world ready for Michelle's faces?
Because
I can see her in a debate, and she's not gonna hide the contempt when you say some dumb, ignorant shit. She's just gonna look at you like, boy, are you serious right now?
And that's the shit. Remember, they held that against Obama when he was debating Romney the first debate. I remember he was like, what? And the Senate's like, what the fuck is this dude saying? And they're like, man, you just, you looked really angry. And that's what, like, hurt him in the polls at that first debate.
Mm-hmm. They're like, he really got under his skin and all this shit. But it was really just Mitt Romney was lying. Like, he was just taking positions he'd never, like, Barack Obama was actively being like, well, he's never said that until tonight. So they're like, what do you have to say to that, president? He's like, that's new. That's what I have to say to it. He's lying or something. In white folks news, Katy Perry, apparently has celebrating her victory, because, Calvin Harris, who is Taylor Swift's ex, okay? Mm-hmm. Hopefully you guys are versed enough in white people news to keep up.
Okay.
He basically said that he because now that he broke up with Taylor Swift, it's been very public. He's very hurt. He has now confirmed that it was Taylor Swift who started the beef between her and Katy Perry a long time ago. So it's officially been proven. Katy Perry is celebrating today.
Well, you know what? Glad that we got to the bottom of this. I really am. I'm glad that we got to the bottom
of this. Rod, did you really just mention that? Like, what?
Yeah. Sometimes we have to cover white people news.
Yeah, sometimes
okay?
we got to cover the white on white crime.
I'm just going to tell me Katy Perry like is happy because, you know, her nudes got released or something. I'm just going to be like, okay, cool.
No. Man. There's more to life than just being naked, Brandon.
First we figure out Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. Next is Tupac and Biggie, baby.
Come exactly. On. We working our way back.
Go down the line.
Statues of limitations. the 31-year-old is celebrating after Calvin Harris confirmed that his ex-girlfriend Taylor tried to bury Katy, suggesting that she was the one to ignite that ongoing feud all along. Katy was quick to respond, reveling in the fact that Calvin had called out her rival by retweeting a post she had shared in May of last year, which read, "Time, the ultimate truth teller." And then she tweeted out a picture of Hillary Clinton with a knowing smile. Because that is white women's Beyonce.
Ain't it, though?
See, I think Kanye was right all along about Taylor, man.
Me too.
Like, we cannot trust this chick. Because she's even been in denial about the whole, like, oh, like, they played the famous song to her, right? And she's like, no, I never approved that. And, like, they were like, we got voicemails and shit if you say it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you talking about?
She got an image to protect, man. You know, America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift, leaving a string of broken-hearted men's behind.
As long as there's a controversy and people still talking, that's all she cares about.
Mm-hmm. Calvin's tweets came out almost two years of drama between the pop princesses. And as the Scottish DJ confirms, Taylor and Katy's much talked about row takes a look back at where all the bad beef came from, and they got a bunch of pictures and shit of them chilling. The two singers started out as friends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they were spotted catching up at several Grammy Awards over the years, but their relationship then turned sour around 2012 when Katy began dating Taylor's ex, John Mayer. Mm-hmm.
Mayor, he was getting,
that is the reason, probably, right?
A man Tom came between did, women.
He did some stuff to Taylor that she wasn't too happy about. Mm-hmm. So,
a man coming between two best friends. Mm. How often does this tale happen? While neither Katy nor Taylor has ever directly confirmed the long-standing feud, it has been well documented, and Katy is said to have inspired Taylor's hit song "Bad Blood." The track is about falling out with someone she thought was a friend, and the pop star explained the story behind it during an interview with Rolling Stone. "For years, I was never sure if we were friends or not. She would come up to me at award shows and say something and walk away, and I would think, are we friends, or did she just give me the harshest insult of my life? Then last year, the other star crossed the line. She did something so horrible, I was like, oh, we're just straight up enemies, and it wasn't even about a guy. It had to do with business. She basically tried to sabotage an entire arena tour. She tried to hire a bunch of people out from under me." Taylor, who said that she is surprisingly non-confrontational, then admitted that there may be a personal aspect to the rivalry, but added, "But I don't think there would be any personal problem if she weren't competitive." The personal problem she was likely referring to was Katy's relationship with John, who Taylor penned the breakup ballad "Dear John" about. Man, I wonder what Calvin about to get the best one of these songs, though, right?
Oh yeah, they're coming. She's coming after him.
Yeah, he earning his. He like, "I'm about to put your business in these streets, everything."
She's like, "Well, he got a small dick. Oh, I'm 25.
Well, you know what? She might beat him to it, because don't she make a bomb album after every breakup?
Yeah, typically.
Oh, yeah. She was like, "Oh, you ain't saying nothing, and I ain't gonna say nothing to make more money than you."
Mm-hmm. How it turned nasty. It didn't take the internet long to suggest Katy was the star Taylor was talking about in the interview. The birthday hitmaker only added fuel to the rumors when she tweeted the following: "Beware the Regina George in sheep's clothing." It was then found that in 2013, a backup dancer who performed at Katy's 2011 tour had revealed to the Examiner that he and two others were hired by Taylor for her Red tour, which ran from March 2013 to June 2014. But halfway through, Katy offered them spots on her Prism tour, which kicked off May 2014, and they decided to switch over, leaving Taylor's camp prematurely. TMZ reported that Taylor felt betrayed by the dancers and fired them on the spot. However, it was claimed that they had asked for a 30-day out clause when they signed up for a tour because they were waiting for Perry, who they had worked with on previous Teenage Dream extravaganza, to go back on the road. Addressing a few claims, Katy did little to squash the rumors of their rift the following February, as she discussed the roles pop stars have in media during an interview with Elle magazine. You got to name someone the villain, someone the princess, someone the mom, the dad type. You know, there always has to be characters. As pop figures, we're all characters, and the media uses that. Who is the sweetheart? Who is the villain? You know, Taylor's the sweetheart. Kanye's the villain. That's the narrative. She trying to say y'all made that up. Three months later, the Shake It Off hitmaker told the Telegraph, I'm never going to talk about her in my interview. It's not going to happen. But that's you talking about her, technically. She added during an interview with GQ that was released in October, I never said anything that would point a finger in a specific direction to one person, and I can sleep at night knowing that. Man, we know you talking about her, girl.
Yeah, she's
trying to act like she being slick. Blood. Yeah, that's like if I was just like, oh, I mean, I'm not gonna say what size popcorn the podcast I got beef is, but it ain't large and it ain't small, okay?
Let it be known then, Rod.
they hired my talent from under me, and coincidentally, the details match up with that scenario. Oh man, Katy's ex-boyfriend Diplo, man, they date some losers.
Diplo,
wait. Yeah. weighed in on the drama during an interview with GQ. He said Taylor Swift is very strategic with her friends and enemies, and I know lots of secrets. Then in August of last year, Taylor apparently poked fun at Katy during the performance of Bad Blood on her 1989 tour when a breakup dancer held up a shark puppet. Now you guys remember that's in reference to the Super Bowl where they had the dancers dressed as sharks, and
yeah,
one of the
that was a horrible act. Mm-hmm. Show.
Yeah, one of the sharks was off.
He was way off.
No, that shark was off. That shark did not give a fuck. That shark was just like, nah, it's my party.
Taylor Swift, holler at me.
Yeah, that shark was, side. I'm a shill.
That shark was like, I'm not swimming with the pack.
shortly after that happened, Katy Perry began following a Instagram account called Slutty Taylor Swift. The shade! Ooh. Meanwhile, some suggested Katy was referencing the feud as recently as last month, when she released her Mad Love perfume. Cause baby, now that we've got Bad Blood, you know it used to be Mad Love are the lyrics from Bad Blood. However, Katy's last fragrance was called Mad Potion, so it may just be coincidental. Mm-mm.
See, you know, if these were going back to the hip hop artists, you know, if this was, you know, Lil Kim and Faith Evans, there would have been some punches thrown. They're not doing this whole passive aggressiveness. Yeah. They're going in. They're
well,
going
you
in.
Know,
somebody's gonna get that hot comb upside their head.
Here's the thing that I find very interesting, right? I feel like at the beginning of the show, I guarantee there was at least one person listening going, see, this is what's wrong with black women. Can't even get along. Foxy Brown don't talk about, she ain't gotta talk about why she didn't get invited. Just don't say nothing. Be bigger than that. White people don't do this. And then the next, like, two articles later, it's like, and then she said, I'ma follow Taylor Swift is a bitch on Twitter, you know, like, like white people just as messy, man.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you know, hip hop is a little different because, you know, Lil Kim did go to jail for shooting some people and shit.
Yeah,
because
Taylor was G. That shark that was performing there her concert, she would have walked up to it with a fake shotgun and shot its head off.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been
awesome.
That would have been extra. That would have been very extra.
Like.
I was asking questions like, whoa, Taylor.
If she, if Taylor Swift was real, she would be in the next Sharknado, you know, kill a whole bunch of right sharks.
Poor Vivica, she couldn't even make it through a Sharknado movie.
I know, man, but she gave up her life so that we could live, y'all. Recognize the sacrifice. Last year, Katie weighed in when Taylor got into a war words with Nicki Minaj. The blank space hitmaker had thought she was the target of a tweet Nicki posted about her video of the year, Anaconda. If your video celebrates women with very slim bodies, you will be nominated for video of the year, Nicki wrote. The pair then got into a fight when Taylor replied, I've done nothing but love and support you. It's unlike you to pit women against each other. Maybe one of the men took your spot. Nicki and Taylor made up and later performed together during the award ceremony after Taylor apologized, claiming that she had misunderstood and misspoke. However, not before Katie had shared her piece, writing, finding it ironic to parade the pit women against each other, each other against other women argument about as one unmeasurably capitalizes on the takedown of a woman. So I guess she's like, you ain't care when it was me. So then Katie revealed during the interview with the New York Times that she extended an invite to Taylor to attend a pre-Grammy party she was hosting. Katie explained that the star had been invited to the bash in February along with Adele, but she wasn't sure if they would be attending. It's just up to their schedules. However, Taylor was not present for the event, which was thrown by Spotify, a music streaming service that she pulled her album from and criticized for not appropriately conversating artists. Then Calvin Harris goes on Twitter and says, and she seen, People Magazine said, Taylor Swift wrote Calvin Harris and Rihanna's hit, This Is What You Came For, reps confirm problem. Oh, People Magazine, da, 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 da. All right, and so then he says, and she sings on a little bit of it too. Amazing lyric writer, and she smashed it as usual. I wrote the music, produced the song, arranged it, and cut the vocals though, and initially she wanted it kept secret, hence the pseudonym. Hurtful to me at this point that her and her team would go so far out of their way to try to make me look bad at this stage though. I figure if you're happy in your new relationship, you should focus on that instead of trying to tear your ex-boyfriend down for something to do. I know you're off tour and you need someone new to try and bury, like Katie, etc., but I'm not that guy. Sorry, I won't allow it. Please focus on the positive aspects of your life because you've earned a great one.
Yo, is she a sociopath?
I think
sounds crazy.
Isn't she like, she's 25, right?
Mm-hmm.
She ain't got ass whooped once. That's what it is.
Oh.
So she's 25 years old. She ain't got.
Well, maybe she did. That's why she ain't got no ass.
No, but nobody.
I've never seen a white girl try so hard to pretend like she has that butt.
Yeah.
True. Taylor Swift.
No, but yeah, that's the thing. When people have never been checked before, then, you know, they're going to do shit like this and they're going to keep on coming at people. Somebody has to check her. And she's going to mess with the wrong person, and that person's going to straight up grab her by her hair. And then next
thing I think that's what happened with the Nicki thing. I think that's what happened with the Nicki thing, right? Nicki was coming at her, and she's like, no, I don't want any of that. Because remember, Miley Cyrus said some shit.
She didn't want
and that's
problem.
When Nicki was like, yo, come step to me if you want to talk about some real shit. And Miley was like, no, I'm going to go.
Well, what was funny is that Nicki's comments were kind of like general.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been about a lot of artists, and Taylor Swift stepped in front of that bullet, feeling all, taking it personal, and then realized that this shit wasn't even about her, and then she had to apologize, but now everybody knows, you know, like, hit dogs hollering and shit. Calvin and her fell out, and she's had other feuds and all this stuff, so it sounds like white people's news is quite interesting, y'all. Still keeping it real out there, guys, and you're welcome. That's been your segment on white people's news today.
Yeah, and they say we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all have a mayonnaise sandwich.
Oh, shit. All right, let's get into our segments. Let's talk about fucking with black people. Let me go play the theme song music. Here we go. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Let's see who's fucking with us today. Charles Barkley. Barkley's in the news. He was recently on the Levitard show. He called in and did an interview on the radio, and he said we've got to do better as black people. He says black people have got to do better in response to last week's shootings of black men by police and the sniper attack that left five officers dead in Dallas. In an interview on ESPN Radio's Dan Levitard show Tuesday, Barkley said that the police have made some mistakes, but that don't give us the right to riot and shoot cops. He continued that it bothers him that black people never get mad when black people kill each other, and we never get mad when black people kill each other, which has always bothered me.
Wait, now was this Charles Barkley or Bill Cosby? Which one did you say this was?
Yeah, Charles Barkley. He's problematic. He periodically just says shit like this.
I like that he forgets that we know he's Charles Barkley.
Right.
I like how he forgets that he was in fucking Space Jam and he needs to keep his goddamn mouth shut.
like you threw a dude through a plate glass window, Mr. Nonviolence.
Yeah.
This nigga's lucky he didn't get shot by the cops himself when he's speeding down the highway trying to get a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Like, I hate when people say that stuff, like, black people gotta do better. It's like, clearly, people are upset because in society, we apparently think, not saying cops need to lose their lives, but that blue lives are more important than black people.
Indeed.
Right.
And that's a fucked up thing that, as a black person, I have to think about.
It's weird. It's weird that if you say, when we say Black Lives Matter, people hear only Black Lives Matter, right? Even though that's not what's being said. But then, in return, they'll say blue lives matter, but if they think we meant only black lives matter, so when they say blue lives matter, they do mean only blue lives matter, like,
yeah,
like not your black ass life, these cops, that's it. That's when it became a tragedy.
Then they say things like, you know, well, that cop, you know, they're just trying to get home to his family. Like, yeah, so am I.
Yeah,
so am I. I'm gonna go with my family too.
We all left the house with one goal in mind.
Yeah, to go home that night.
Right.
Go home with somebody else. But either way, you want to go home. Yep.
Charles goes on to say, I've always said it was as black people want. Wait. I've always said that if we as black people want Mama Shrek, Ernie, we have to give each other respect. You can't demand respect from white people and the cops, if you don't respect each other. He added, there's a lot of blame to go around, and I'm not going to get on TV and yell like all those other idiots. So he went on the radio to yell.
Yeah. You know what? It seems to me like Charles Barkley is fucking with us 100%.
It's terrible, how he's terrible. Fucking with us.
Terrible. Terrible how much he's fucking with us. Terrible.
He said,
big old watermelon head.
He said, I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be perfect, but you have to ask yourself, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? He added, I think some of the cops are panicking under pressure. Of course, Levitard, this hit a nerve with him. And he pointed out that police are more likely to panic around black men than those of other races.
Right.
Barkley responded saying he didn't think racial profiling was right, but he could see why white officers stereotype black people because some are crooks.
I'm sorry. Because I had a debate about this shit on Facebook, you know, when everything started going down. And one of my friends is a cop, and I use friends very loosely. dude, I know is a cop. And, like, he, you know, they're talking about, you know, all this shit like that. And my main thing is, like, yo, why is it that every time that something happens with the black people, they immediately look and just say, all right, well, what did this black dude do to get himself shot by the police? Why did you not follow directions and shit like that? I'm just like, yo, that could be anybody. I said, yo, one day you may look at the news and see, oh, Justin got shot. Justin's dead. I'm like, I would hope you wouldn't be like, what did Justin do to get shot by the police? And you'd be like, why the fuck did the police just shoot Justin?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all we want. That's all we want.
But you shouldn't have to do a hypothetical to your friend like, well, what would you do if I got shot?
Yeah.
normal conversation starts.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about these people as humans. My fault, dog.
Exactly. It was like, I would wait until the evidence came out, of course, because I know that anything could happen.
Yeah. Maybe you went.
One time, Justin, you got really mad.
Maybe you went totally black on them, okay?
Like, when you have conversations with people like that, that's the kind of people that are like, with the Trayvon Martin thing, they were like, what, a kid shouldn't have fought him? I'm like, if you're a teenager and some random big dude is following you through your neighborhood, you're going to fucking defend yourself. You're not going to just be like, oh, I'll go wherever you tell me to go. Fuck that.
He says there is some reason why there's racial stereotypes, because some of those black people out there are committing crimes. Let's don't sit there and act like all our hands are clean. As for Barkley's claims that black people don't get mad when black people kill each other, Levitar said that's not true. He says, we don't nearly have as much outrage as when a white cop kills somebody, Barkley shot back, calling Dan Levitar out for not being black himself. And Dan said, I've been black all my life. Most black people I know are killed by other black people. And he went on to say the officers in both the recent shootings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile clearly overreacted, but says he can sympathize with the pressure of their job. There's no doubt in my mind I'm fighting with a guy and I hear somebody scream gun. I got a gun. I'm going to shoot the guy. One, you're not a trained officer. Two, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
So, like, why do we have to keep making up scenarios of what happened when we have videotape and people are still like, yeah, but assuming it happened a whole different way in another reality, you got to shoot them, right?
Well, you know what? It comes down to this. Police officers, they're hired because they're supposed to be better. They're supposed to be held at a higher standard. If you can't hold yourself at that standard, you should not be a police officer. Yeah. If you're afraid of black people, if you see a black dude over there and you immediately have to have your hand on your gun, you don't need to be a police officer. Yeah. You need to protect and serve by writing tickets. That's what you need to be doing. You be a meter maid.
I feel like they're held to a lower standard. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, if you shoot somebody, you're going to jail.
Yep,
you know, sure. Like if you shoot someone in cold blood and we got fucking film of it, we're like, damn, man, I miss Justin. You know, wish he wouldn't have did that on film.
Yeah, he going to jail. They gonna lock him up.
If a cop breaks protocol and shoots a person down in cold blood, like the standard is lowered like a motherfucker. It's like, well, you know, cops have stressful lives and things are crazy. he was in a bad day that day. He hadn't eaten and, you know, when his blood sugar gets low. I mean, can you really blame him? I mean, sure, he called him a nigger, but I mean, are we sure he wasn't gonna say he's niggardly and he just cut his word off in the middle of the word? We don't know, guys. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is not guilty. So, sorry, black community.
What happened to cops being able to like defend themselves with their hands? You know what I mean? Like, y'all ever seen that movie End of Watch?
Yeah.
When the cop like fights the dude in his house, like he was like hitting his wife or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he like fights him with his hands. Like they have like they have it out and whatever. Not saying every cop should like go in hand to hand combat.
I know what you mean. You'd rather be you know what I mean. You'd like, rather be beaten than shot.
You shouldn't immediately go to your gun because someone's bigger than you. You should be trained to be able to handle that person.
You know what? I think that we need to just give all cops Snickers.
Yeah, that's what it is.
They feel like they're about to shoot something. Yeah. Here's the Snickers. You seem a little trigger happy today.
Like, hey, dog, that would be the best Snickers commercial ever, and they could just end it with Black Lives Matter. Like they have a suspect, and the cop pulls out the gun, and when he does, he's a fucking Michael Rapaport, and then someone hands him a Snickers, and then he just turns back to a regular like person, and he's like, oh, thanks, man. I'm sorry about that. And he's like, don't worry. When you don't eat, you get a little racist.
When you don't feel like yourself.
You get a little racist.
Yeah. Michael Rapaport has played every version of racist, by the way.
He's a
good ass actor.
Wide spectrum. Yeah. He started off, man, Higher Learning, man. That was like, woo. He went from being like all quiet, like, hey guys, what party are you going to be like, fuck you niggas and Jews. Yeah.
You always stick together, niggas and Jews, niggas and Jews. I was like, oh damn.
Holy shit.
I thought Remy was a cool dude.
And he's just so intense, even on his every day. Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No, I didn't even know podcast. He had one.
He's just like, you know what guys, I just can't. He's about to implode at any fucking moment. But I love it though.
Yeah, he must be woke as fuck though. Him and Spike Lee kick it. All right, so 0 to 100, Karen, in intervals of 25. What would you give that story?
Oh, that's 137.
Okay. Yes, 100. 100 for Karen. Justin?
Yeah, no, that's 137 for me.
Oh, okay, 137.
I'm gonna say 100 because I'm gonna stick within the parameters I've been given, otherwise I might get shot.
Yeah, it's 100, it's 100, so.
It's okay if you go over.
Everybody gave it 100, so there you go. Let's get into our second game, which is a game we like to call Guess the Race. Now that is time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that is time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Brandon and Justin from the movies, from the Medium Popcorn podcast to guess the race. And the chat room plays along. And the chat room is racist.
Super happy to be here, guys.
Hey, we're glad to have you guys. We are glad to have you. Here's our first story. DUI suspect kept driving for a mile with a dead pedestrian wedged into her windshield and his severed leg on her trunk after a night of bar hopping.
Well, goddamn.
Oh, that's a white dude.
That's a white girl, right? You said, well, female, right?
Yeah, we haven't. I'm going to read the article. You're going to have more clues.
Okay.
A drunk driver allegedly hit and killed a homeless pedestrian and then drove for a mile with his body wedged into her windshield. Stacy Sanchez, 29, was arrested outside of her Oceanside, California home on Monday after she walked away from her wrecked car with the victim still stuck inside. Police say she smashed into the pedestrian on the sidewalk after a night of drinking. Her speed sent him flying through the windshield with such force that his head was resting on the passenger seat. I guess she didn't want no scrubs. The man's leg also detached from his body and flew through the back window, landing on the trunk of the car.
How fast was she going?
I don't know.
She tore this man in half.
It's like the beginning of Fargo, season 2.
Oh, yeah. That's
a good show. Sanchez got out of the car. Yeah, it was good until he had that fucking alien ship. I'm sorry. This has nothing to do. Sanchez got out of the car screaming when she arrived back in the cul-de-sac where she lived. She then walked around the corner and entered her home. Edgar Esparza left his house and saw the car with the body still on the windshield. The teenager then asked Sanchez what had happened. He's a nice guy. I would have called the cops.
Yeah. Hey, what happened to that body in your car?
Hey, did you see?
Is it Halloween and nobody told me?
A homeless dude ran through your car, cut his long leg off. But she said everything was fine when he asked her what happened. Hey, you got a dead homeless dude on your car. Oh, no, that's just, don't worry. It's always been like that. Go to school. She added that her clothes, he added that her clothes suggested she had been out all night. When paramedics arrived, they pronounced the pedestrian dead at the scene. And yeah, no shit. I'm sorry, man, but this dude didn't have a leg to stand on, all right? It was, sorry. Really? You gonna grumble, Brandon?
I was gonna say that means his dick probably fell off and all this shit.
Probably got off
to the dick, man. Don't leave the dick out of this.
Probably got off on the wrong foot, you know. Investigators were placing evidence markers where his wallet, keys, and pants have been found. They also had to cover the car with a tarp so neighbors couldn't see the body. He's believed to have been walking to a soup kitchen when he was knocked down. Shit. I guess that soup was chunky now.
Worst thing is a girl I went to high school died the same exact way.
Oh, oh man.
Why you gotta make it real?
It is real.
Leg on the trunk is as well.
Riding her bike along the highway and some guy high on whatever hit her and her boyfriend. She was implanted into the windshield. Dude didn't stop. And just kept on driving. Somebody else had to stop.
How the fuck do you think you can drive out of that?
Yeah, this is like, ah, it's cool. I'm going to go to the auto body shop.
Yeah.
Get the body out the car.
Guess I got to go to the car wash. Sanchez told police she had been drinking in several bars that night and was on her way home. She allegedly hit the man who had not been identified. She's in jail now facing drunk drive charges, and her bail's been set at $30,000. Guess the race of Mrs. What is her first name? Stacy Sanchez, guys.
I'm still going white. Right. Even though her last name is Sanchez.
I'm going Spanish. All but right. She's a Spanish girl that thinks she's white.
Spanish girl like thinks white she's shit. White. Okay. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe the race is. White, says Emil. She didn't know it's because the pedestrian fit in with the other 11 people sitting in the car, Latino. Oh. El Camino. That's pretty good. All right. Well, the correct answer is she was Latino. So yeah. There you go. And one of you missed it. And if you want to see her picture, I'll put it in the chat for you. This is her like this looks like her thirst trap picture right here. This
Instagram.
First one.
Man.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. Very Latino, man. Eyebrows tattooed on, everything. So
she's just like the kind of chick that gets so drunk and not knows that she murdered somebody.
I definitely swiped right on that until I found out about the murder. You know what I'm saying?
Probably after the murder, it's still.
Yeah, well, you know, you did say you like a very aggressive woman.
That's what you're doing.
Nothing more aggressive than killing a nigga and driving for another mile.
Yeah, kill a nigga, drive him home. That's one way to get him home.
Let's take it to the bonus round on this one, guys. Let's see. Where's my bonus round music? Here we go. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, it's 1-0, for Justin. For Brandon. Sorry about that.
Oh, Lord.
I apologize. Let's just pretend that didn't happen. Go to the bonus round. The bonus round is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today so you can get that clearer, smoother skin. Everybody wants that. People want that for you. People in your life want to see good things come for you. If you got a birthday coming up or something, treat yourself, okay? It'll be the best gift you got, and it continues to keep on giving. It's basically a subscription shaving system. And they re-up on your blades, priming oil, shaving cream, and restoring balm like every 3 to 4 months. So you never have to make another trip to the store. It comes with a shaving razor, shaving brush, and everything in a starter kit. And like I said, I shave with it. You know, get your beard game tight. If you're going completely smooth, go completely smooth. Don't go completely smooth with a chance of bumpiness. Go all the way smooth, because that's what people like. They like a smooth face. TBGWT is the code to get 20% off of your first month at getbevel.com. GetBevel.com, code TBGWT. Now, a man went on a carjacking spree that ended at the Chrysler plant. A man is accused of carjacking 4 different people at gunpoint in the span of 3 hours on Saturday before being arrested at the Chrysler Jefferson North plant. Damn. According to criminal complaint, Delmon Dandridge, carjacking spree began about 6 a.m. When he took a Chrysler 300 from a driver at a Valero gas station. 7:26 a.m. he allegedly drove the Chrysler 300 to another road and approached a Jeep Commander. The complaint said Dandridge then hit the driver's side door with a handgun until the driver opened it and got out with her 2-year-old child. At 8 a.m., he drove the Jeep to a BP gas station, and he tried to take a Dodge Caliber from a driver. When the driver refused, Dandridge pointed the gun at the driver and tried to fire twice, but the gun was stuck. Oh. The driver eventually let him take the car. Dandridge two misses, you got it. No, it only take one time for the gun to work.
Yeah, it's like Russian roulette. Sure. You ain't gonna play that with your car.
Right. he probably felt stupid for saying no in the first place after he pulled that trigger twice. Well, shit, then you can have it. I thought you was fucking around, bro. Dandridge allegedly drove to the Jefferson North plant, got into a Chevy Express van that was running, and drove off. He returned the van a short time later, like a library book, and forced two people out of the van. He then drove the van under a bridge, which ripped the top off of it. Then he got out and walked into the plant. He was held by Chrysler employees until police arrived and they took him into custody. Dandridge told the police the gun belonged to his girlfriend and he was bringing it to her. Oh, I'm just holding this. I'm just carrying this to my girl. This ain't even mine. He has felony convictions for assaulting and resisting a police officer, assault with intent to do bodily harm for murder, and a felony guns charge. Guess the race of Mr. Delmon Dandridge.
I'm going with white. Delmon Dandridge. That sounds like some like Irish book.
All right.
I feel like I've only got one shot to win this.
This ain't Hamilton.
I'm just gonna go and say he's black.
All right, let's check the chat room. See what they believe. White. She didn't notice because of, Cassidy from Preacher White. Delmon messing up a woman. Delmon messing up his woman's car, a brother. Does his life matter? Depends on who you ask, I guess. The correct answer is. And for the steal and the win, Justin gets it. He was black. You played it wrong, Brandon. And Brandon, you lost. All right. And then last thing we got to do, sword ratchetness, guys. The longest sound effect ever. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gonna keep going. Yep. And then he gets killed right around there. Alright, guys. Sword ratchetness continues to plague the United States and the rest of the world. Because not enough people pay attention to it. It's a very serious problem. Winnipeg man was killed with his own sword after challenging an accused sex offender in an apparent case of vigilante justice.
Shit.
Yeah, went wrong. Now the target of the initial attack has pleaded guilty to manslaughter. Damien Fontaine, 28, will be sentenced later this year following the completion of a court-ordered report. Philip Rick George Amos, 25, was beaten and stabbed to death outside of a North End apartment in September 2013. Crown attorney Chris Vanderhoeft told the court Monday that Amos went looking for Fontaine while armed with a sword. He was joined by a female friend who was carrying a bat. They found Fontaine in the courtyard of the complex just after 4 a.m. Amos began an attack and stabbed Fontaine, who quickly overpowered and disarmed him, and then stabbed him three times, twice in the heart, once in the lower back. Oh. Amos tried to flee but was chased down and kicked. He was rushed to the hospital but could not be saved. What happened to the woman in this? How'd she get away? We agree that there is at least an element of provocation, said Vanderhoeft. Further details on the killing will be presented at the sentencing hearing September 19th. Fontaine was set to begin a jury trial in the fall on a more serious charge of second-degree murder, but the Crown agreed to drop that in exchange for the guilty plea. Apparently, Vanderhoeft said Fontaine was impaired by alcohol and crack cocaine at the time of the killing. Yep, crack and swords don't mix, y'all. Fontaine had been living in the area while out on bail and allegedly raped a female acquaintance. He was charged in 2009 with aggravated sexual assault. My brother didn't like abuse against women. He always stood up for people who couldn't defend themselves. Grace Amos previously told the Free Press she doesn't believe there was a history between Amos and Fontaine, but that he likely heard about the man from friends and associates in the neighborhood and then decided to confront the man. Amos also had his own legal issues and was out on bail for a weapon-related offense at the time that he was slain. He was a well-known car thief who was being monitored by a community corrections worker and a probation officer. So this motherfucker was a criminal himself and was like, but I ain't no sex offender. I'm going to kill you with a sword. And then the sex offender dude was like, oh, yeah, well, I'm nice with swords, too, and killed that nigga. All right, guys.
Did you give him a sword, too?
He took the sword from him. Like, he was like, give me your sword, bitch, and killed him. That's terrible way to die. Die by a sex offender flipping the tables on you, dog. That's a terrible way to die. You didn't even have to go out like that. Could have left well enough alone. He did his time. Make sure you guys go check out Medium Popcorn, man. Yes, it's a great podcast. I was on the latest episode, or am on the latest episode. So you guys go listen to it. You guys can hear me talk about my second favorite movie of all time, The Last Dragon, which I know backwards and forward anyway. And we had a great conversation. Follow Brandon on Twitter at American Collins. Make sure you follow Justin on Twitter. He's J Brown Did It on Twitter. And make sure you listen to their podcast, man. Y'all going up anytime? Any dates you want people to be aware of?
Right now, I mean, next two Tuesdays, you guys, if you're in New York City, come check Justin and I out. Our Grits Tuesday dinner show at 12 St. Mark's Place, the V-Spot. Do free comedy at 7 p.m. every Tuesday night. So just follow us on Twitter to learn more details about where we're going to be going after that. But every Tuesday, we're going to be there.
There you go, guys. So we'll be back Saturday for feedback show at some point. So we'll talk to you guys then. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah. Bye. Yeah.